In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the sixth Sunday of the Great Fast, and we read the story of the man born blind, who the Lord restored his sight. And we can kind of meditate on some of the lessons that we can learn from this man, and also how the disciples, when they saw him, asked the Lord, how is it that he was born blind? What was the purpose for him to be born blind, and was it due to some kind of sin that he had committed or that his parents had committed? And the Lord responded in verse 3 when he said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." And so it makes us to question maybe what is some of the reasons why God allows different trials in our life. We experience all kinds of different trials for different reasons. Maybe some of them are actually self-imposed because of our own poor choices, or maybe some of them are for the glory of God or for other reasons. So we can think a little bit about this, and I want to speak about a few types of trials and why is it that God allows different trials, or why does certain trials happen to us. The first reason for trials is trials as consequences of our own bad choices or because of our own sin, the natural consequences, the things that will naturally happen because we make certain choices. These are not to say that this is a direct punishment from God, or that God is chastising us, but simply when we do an action, there is a result. And this is a type of consequence that we face from the various trials. In Proverbs chapter 5, he's speaking about the immoral woman, and a person who is kind of a man who's going after this immoral woman and having an ungodly relationship with her. And it says, "For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Meaning what? That if you try to have a relationship with this immoral woman, if you go and have this ungodly relationship with her, then what is it's going to happen? The natural consequence is that in the end it is bitter. Bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. The person who seeks after sin will taste the bitterness of sin. This isn't to say that this is a direct punishment by God. No, it's just the consequence of sin. When you go after something that is evil, you will reap evil. You will reap the evil consequences of that which you sought. And so nothing that is evil will have a good end. Nothing. It will, even if the sin itself tastes sweet, or if it feels like it's something good in the moment, in the end, the consequence of it, the natural consequence is always evil, is always bad. It's always something that is hidden, that doesn't look at all like what it seemed at the beginning. It reminds me of the story of in the book of Samuel, when one of the sons of David, whose name was Amnon, he sought to have an immoral relationship with his stepsister. And he wanted to have her for his wife, but he raped her. And it says about him how much he longed after her and how much he loved her and how all of these things. But then she resisted him. And after she resisted him and he raped her, it says that he hated her more than all that he loved her. Like the end consequence of his sin was not love. The end consequence of his sin was not something good or enduring, but it was actually something bitter. He himself hated her, even though before this it says that he loved her. Someone who goes after something that is ungodly, they will only be filled with stress, with anxiety, with fear. All of these are the natural consequences of sin that results in suffering. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters." Meaning the consequences of these things are known, and a person who commits certain crimes or does certain things is going to reap the consequence of them, and this is just the natural consequence. So maybe a person goes through trial because it is the natural consequence of their poor choice. The second type of trial is a trial as a chastisement. This is something that is coming from God because he wants to correct us. He wants to rebuke us. He wants to get us to see that a certain action that we have taken is wrong. So it is not so much the natural consequence of sin, but it is something that God imposes on us to teach us a lesson. An example of this is David's punishment for his sin with Bathsheba. After he fell into sin with her, he took her and he killed her husband, and then he had a child with her. And this child that he had, God said that he would not live. And this was a direct punishment for what is it that would happen, and then what is it that David had done. And then he goes on and he says, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me. Right? So he's saying to King David, though, because you have sinned against me, the rest of your life is going to be filled with violence. And certainly it was filled with violence for his entire life, and even among his own family and his own children, and there was constant strife and rebellion in his life. This was a consequence, a punishment that God had placed on King David because of the sin that he had committed. Also, we read about the punishment of Israel because of the sin of Achan. This was during the book of Joshua, where the people of God go up to try to fight a city. God had promised them that he would grant them victory in all of their battles, but they go up to fight this very small city, which seemed to them to be very easy to conquer, and yet they lost. And then it was revealed to them by God that the reason they lost is because one of the people of Israel had taken something, one of the accursed items from the city of Jericho that they weren't supposed to take, and it was something hidden and nobody knew it except this man. But because of this, the entire congregation suffered because they lost this battle and there are people who died. And God says to them, neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Again, it is a chastisement. It's a punishment. It's something that God imposed on them as a result of their sin because they had done something that was not befitting the people of God. And God wanted to call it out. He wanted them to understand that this action you have taken is something that is wrong and it is sinful. So this is the second reason for trial, is because maybe we have committed sin and God wants to correct us. He wants to restore us back again to understand what is right. Another reason for trial is a trial for approval, that God is testing us so that we can be approved. In James chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Maybe the best example of this is Job. Job had committed no sin, and there wasn't any reason for him to be chastised, neither by God nor by the natural consequences of any bad choice that he had made. But when we read the conversation that Satan had with Job at the beginning of the book, we see that God is actually boasting of Job, and he is saying about him, there is no man like him in all the earth. There is no one like Job. And Satan, who kind of in his jealousy, and he argues with God, and he says, the reason that Job is righteous is because you have given him everything. There is no reason for him to curse you because he has everything in his life that he could ever want. Everything is good with him. He is very wealthy, has family, everything is good, his health is good. So that there is no reason for him to curse you, and this is why he is a faithful man. And so God, in order to show to the devil that no, actually he is a righteous man, so he allowed this test to happen into the life of Job. This was a test for Job, for sure, but it was also something that was intended for all of us to kind of see and benefit from, truly the righteousness of this man. None of us really know how faithful we are until we are tested. God knows us, but we don't know ourselves. Maybe we go through life believing or thinking that we are righteous people, that we are faithful people, but maybe that's because we haven't yet encountered a certain trial that tests us to our core, that tests us to like the very limits of what it is that we never even thought would ever happen to us. Maybe this is the test of our faithfulness, truly. Not maybe the small things that we feel like we've already passed through, but maybe there are bigger trials ahead for us, and God wants us to be prepared for those trials. So God tests us to reward us. The test is not intended to destroy us, because also St. James says God will not send us a trial beyond what we are capable to bear with his support and with his grace, with the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So God is not sending us things to destroy us. He's not sending us trials so that we can fall. He doesn't want us to fall. But he's allowing us to endure trial, to grow in faith, to lean on him more, to trust in him more, to realize our own weakness and that we cannot succeed in our life without him, and that so that after we lean on him and we are successful in the trial, then God has even more reason to reward us and to grant us good things. So this is the third reason that God might send trial. The fourth is what we read today in the story of the man born blind, which is a trial for the glory of God. This man who was born blind, it says, the Lord said about him that the reason he was born blind is so that the Lord may be glorified in him. So that even though he had to struggle and suffer for his entire life, with this blindness up until this moment where the Lord is going to heal him. The reason for his suffering was for the glory of God. This whole trial was not about him. It was about everyone else. Obviously, he himself would see the work of God, and he himself would receive salvation through him seeing how God was able to heal him. But it is also for the rest of us. It is for all the people who were there at the time that heard about this man, that knew this man, that saw how the Lord was able to heal him and to grant him eyes from nothing, that he created eyes, actually, from nothing. He didn't just take someone who had a sickness in his eyes and heal it. He created an eye for him. So it's something that only God could do. It's not something that anyone else could do. And so in what way does this glorify God? Because it brings people to Christ. It brings people to salvation, which was the whole purpose of the mission of Christ, to bring people to himself for their salvation. So this man endured trial for very selfless reasons, though he himself again benefited, but it was really for the benefit of everyone. And we can ask ourselves, like, am I willing to go through such a trial that is for the glory of God, simply to glorify him and to endure pain and suffering on his behalf? We see this, of course, in the life of all the martyrs that were willing to give up their lives, willing to give up their children, their comfort, their money, everything about their lives, and to even be tortured for the glory of God, so that God could be glorified and spread the word of God in the world. Another story that is a trial for the glory of God is, we read about the story of the widow whose son was raised from the dead by Elijah the prophet. It says, "Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this,'" which is that her son who was raised from the dead, "'I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth.'" So again, when she faced this trial of her son dying, it wasn't because God wanted to punish her. It wasn't because she had done something wrong. Just as in the case of Job, he had not done anything wrong. But it was because he wanted her to see truly the glory of God, the power of God working in her life, so that she would turn to God and receive salvation from him. One of the main ways, actually, that we feel the need for God is when we are in trial. When everything is going very well and we are not in any kind of pain and everything is fine, maybe these are the times where we actually go astray from God. But the times when things are very difficult, this is when we feel the need of God the most. So this is the fourth reason that we experience trial, is for the glory of God. The final reason we'll speak about is for protection. We read about the story of Joseph and his brothers, and how they sold him into slavery. And Joseph was lived a very difficult life. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was thrown into a well. He was sold by them into slavery to slave traders. He lived in the house of Potiphar, and he wasn't treated well there. He was falsely accused. He was thrown into prison. All of these things that were done to Joseph were very painful and very difficult, lasting a period of about 14 years. And yet, by the end of the story, we see that the reason that God even allowed any of this to happen was because he wanted to place Joseph in a position of authority, which then he would be able to serve all of the world and to use his skills at management and his wisdom to be able to store food, so that during the time of famine, the people would have food and could go to Egypt and buy food and grain for themselves, and so they wouldn't perish. So what was the purpose of all this trial? Again, maybe we can say there are many purposes in the life of Joseph and the way that Joseph benefited from this trial. But for the rest of us, for the rest of the people who were there at the time, it was for protection. He wanted to do something that would benefit everyone, and so he allowed this one person to suffer so that it would eventually lead him to the place where he could actually serve as a way to protect the people and to do good for the people. And when Joseph was talking to his brothers after it was revealed all of this, and that he was there as the second after Pharaoh in Egypt, he spoke to his brothers. He said, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." That was the purpose. The reason why God allowed all this suffering was to save many people alive. So again, we ask ourselves, am I willing to go through trial and pain for the sake of another, for to save another, to help and to serve another person. So this is another reason that God maybe would allow trial, is actually for our benefit and for our good. So we spoke about five different types of trials. The first one was trial as consequence of our sin, the natural consequence. When I do evil, when I sin, there is a natural consequence of my actions. The second was a trial as chastisement, which is a rebuke, a punishment that God is giving me to help wake me up from my sin, to help wake me up from kind of the lifestyle that I'm in, and help me to never go back to it again. The third is a trial for approval, that after we are tested, God wants to reward us. The fourth is a trial for the glory of God, so that people would be glorified in my own suffering and in the way that I deal and manage with my suffering. And then the fifth is a trial for protection, that maybe God is doing something good that I do not see, that it was requiring some kind of suffering now so that it could be revealed later. So may God grant us, as with this man born blind, to always to have faith in God and to trust in his ways, even when it doesn't make sense, even when we are struggling, and wait for him to save us. And glory be to God forever. Amen.